Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos learning. Baruch Hashem, kol hakavod to this chabura who makes the time on Erev Shabbos. It's supposed to be half hour. It's usually a little more, chatasi, to take the time to not only prepare ourselves with kemach for Shabbos, but with Torah for the Shabbos ahead. And it's extremely inspiring to me. Your dedication, the sponsors, the participants, it's truly amazing. This year is dedicated to Lilui Nishmas, Esti Klein's grandmother, Mrs. Edith Glack, Chaya Bas Tzvi, Alaha Hashalom. She was Nifteris on 8 Elo. I asked Esti to tell me a little bit about her grandmother, and she wrote, "My grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. Both her parents, her two younger sisters, and her extended family were murdered by the Nazis." Esti said, "I've heard you quote Confucius. The one about, I'll tell you what Esti's referring to. Confucius says everyone has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only have one." And Esti says, "I always think about the survivors of the Holocaust. They really did have two lives. They had the before and they had the after. I think about my grandmother every Friday night, including when she was alive, in the Chadodi, when we say, Hisna'ari me'afar kumi. Hisna'ari me'afar kumi. Liv shi big day tifarteich ami, get up, arise, my afar from the dust, wear the garments of the splendor of our people." And how she and my grandfather picked themselves up from the ashes and started new lives. Their lives were not easy. My grandmother loved learning. She would go to Pirkei Avos Shir by Rabbi Snow in Bar Park. She didn't always understand the exact translations of each Mishnah. We gave her a transliterated volume of Pirkei Avos. She was a woman with sincere amunas Hashem and ahavas Hashem. Tonight's learning should be a chus for her neshama, as well as Esti added, all those listening to the Shir. She would always bench us. We should be zechut to have a good life and never have to suffer through that which her generation, Rachmana Litzlan, suffered. So may the Shir bring us chus, aliyah neshama, for Chaya Bas Tzvi, Allah HaHasham, who is Niftaras this past Ches Elo. So when I was thinking what I should teach tonight, what we could study, I should say, tonight, I went back to the same Mishnah that we've done for the past 2 weeks, which is Parakeh Mishnah Gimel. Don't worry, we're doing new insights. We're not having the same Shir again, but I thought that since it's Parshas Chayisara, and in Parshas Chayisara, which is a very auspicious Shabbos, usually when it's not the COVID pandemic, tens of thousands of Jews descend to Hebron and they spend Shabbos davening with them Aras HaMachpelah in Hebron, Hikiryas Arba, which was the first city, the first place, if you will, that the first Jew purchased in what has become Eretz Yisrael. So Hebron, Aras HaMachpelah, the Sedeh HaMachpelah, the field of the Machpelah, Kiryas Arba, became our first acquisition in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. And tens of thousands of Jews traditionally spend Shabbos here. And I was thinking that since it's Parshas Chayisara, and in Parachov Gimel, Sarah dies, and in Parachov Hey, Avram dies, it would be appropriate to take a new aspect of the Mishnah that we have not looked at yet, sort of a goodbye, at least temporarily for this year, to Avram and Sarah. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. Can you see my screen? Okay. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Parakeh Mishnah Gimel, which we have been looking at last week and the week before, and again tonight, and Be'ezras Hashem, next week we will move on to a different Mishnah. Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Hashem. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests, V'amad Bekulam, and he withstood them all. So we saw last week that the different commentators counted 10 tests differently, but the Mishnah tells us that he was tested with 10 tests. Lo'odia Kamechibasor Shal Avram Avinu. To let you know how great is the love of Avram for God. And we interpreted and said, really, Hashem's love for Avram was also very, very great. It was a mutual relationship, if you will, of tremendous Ahavas Hashem on the part of Avram and Ahavas Avram on the part of Hashem. What was the first text in the Torah text? The first test in the Torah text is Lech Lecha. Vayom Hashem al Avram, and Hashem said to Avram, bear with me as to why we're going back to the first test. Just bear with me, wait till the end of Shia. It's quite amazing. Vayom Hashem al Avram, and God said to Avram, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, Me'artzecha, from your land, Umimoladetcha, and from your birthplace, Mibes Avicha, and from the house of your father, El Ha'aretz Asher Areka. And this is the beginning of the journey of Avram, who will become Avraham Avinu. And God said to Abraham, go to yourself, or go for yourself from your land and from your birthplace and from your father's house to the land that I will show. And I also think it's very appropriate shir for a dedication to the memory of the neshama, Ali and neshama of a Holocaust survivor, because that whole generation, including my four grandparents, it was an Isayan. Remember, Lech Lecha was an Isayan. And they undertook the journey of Lech Lecha. Not by choice, but Rachmana Litzlan, the survivors had to. Hisna Ari Me'afer Kumi, pick up from the ashes. And they left what was their land and was their birthplace and was their father's home, where generations of Jews had been faithful Jews in Europe for many, many centuries. This is the first test in the Torah text. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the final test in the Torah text, and the final test of Avram, we saw it last week, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the burial of Sarah in Bereishis, Parak Chaf Gimel, this week's parasha, and it was the life of Sarah. She was 127 years old. These are the days of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Chavon, in the land of Canaan. And Avram Kade came, lispod the Sarah, to give a hesped for Sarah, v'liv kosa, and to cry for her. And after much negotiation with Ephron, Ephron owns the field, and paying 400 silver shekel in common currency, v'achrei kain, I skipped the whole parak, kavar Avram Asari Ishto, Avram buried Sarah, his wife, al ma'arat sedeh ha-machpelah, al p'nei mamre, hi chavon beretz Kanan, into the cave, in the field of the Machpelah, before the face of Mamre, which is chavon, in the land of Canaan. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary to the Mishnah, holds that this test was the final test, not the death of Sarah, but kavura Sarah, the burial. She just died, and I have nowhere to bury her? I thought it's my land. So these two tests are the sandwiching, if you will, of Avraham Avinu's life. And finally, the burial of Sarah. What was the command of God? When Hashem told Avram, Lech lecha, go for yourself, me'artzecha, umimoladetcha, umibeis avicha, what stages of departure are these? So I'm now going to quote Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik teaches that there were three departures that God was commanding to Avraham Avinu, Avram at the time. Three departures. It wasn't just specifying you should leave lechecha me'artzecha, umimoladetcha, umibeis avicha. There was three stages of departure. So Rav Soloveitchik says, the Torah speaks of three departures. Physical departure. Physically, Avram left his land, where Kastim, Haran. Behavioral departure and kinship. Kin, K-I-N. Kinship departure. Three departures. Physical departure, behavioral departure, and kinship departure. First, Ma'artzecha. Departure from your land denotes physical departure, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, physically, you must leave your land with the test of Lech Lecha. Departure from your birthplace, umimoladetcha, is understood as leaving the mother who teaches the child the basics of behavior. Leaving the early years of one's life in one's birthplace. And it is one's birthplace and one's mother and one's early years that shape and determine your behavioral patterns. You know the old nature versus nurture? Nurture plays a very strong role. Lech lecha me'artzecha, physically leave your place. Umimoladetcha, leave the behavior of your past, how you were trained. In this case, Avraham Avinu was told to leave the behaviors of the past. Don't worship idols anymore like your parents worshipped idols. So lech lecha me'artzecha is physical departure. Umimoladetcha, from your birthplace, represents behavioral departure. As Avram Avinu, you will no longer behave like the people of Ur Kastim who were steeped in idol worship. And finally, lecha me'artzecha umimoladetcha umibeis avicha. What is the leaving, the level of departure of leaving your father's house? So Rav Soloveitchik says, clannish estrangement. You will be estranged from your family, alienation from one's kin. Avraham Avinu was called upon to completely depart from his past. Physical departure, lech lecha me'artzecha. Umimoladetcha, from your behaviors that you learned, in your birth home. And finally, Mibeis Avicha, kinship departure. Leave your family, because this family will not be the founding of the Umma Yisraelis. Avraham Avinu will totally leave Avraham at the time and become Avraham Avinu. Rav Salvechik says, Avraham was called upon to form a new fellowship in which teacher becomes the parent and student becomes the child. Avraham was told, leave your past. Physically depart, behaviorally depart, kinship departure. And you will form a new fellowship, a new community, a new way of life, a new religion, where the teacher becomes the parent and the student becomes the child. And here we have a new concept of fatherhood, not mibeis avicha, biological fatherhood, but communication and common devotion. Communication between teacher and student, and common devotion to the Torah that is shared. Education between teacher and student, parent-teacher, child-disciple, parent-teacher, child-disciple. So the parent is the teacher. The child becomes the disciple. And this replaces the biological relationship of Avraham Avinu's past. And this is what Knesset Yisrael was founded on. We have a Mesorah that goes from Rabbi to Talmud, that goes from teacher to student throughout the Doros, because Avraham Avinu was told that that land, Lechecha me'artzecha, umibeis avicha, and those behaviors, umimoladetcha, umibeis avicha, and that kinship, that family, is not the kinship of Knesset Yisrael. And this is what was demanded of Avraham Avinu. Now, what was Avraham told? If he fulfills this test, remember, it was a test, according to all commentators, as far as I know, Lechecha was a test. Whether it's a first or second, that's up for discussion. But it was a test. Some hold that the Kivshan Ha'esh was first. So what does Hashem promise him? Could you see my screen? V'eschal l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. V'avar rechecha, I will bless you. V'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. V'heye bracha. Hashem promises him four promises, four statements, four aspects of the reward if he is able to undergo this departure. V'escha lo goy gadol, I will make you a great nation. V'avar rechecha, I will bless you. V'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. V'heye bracha, you will be for a blessing. So this is an analyzation, if you will, of the first test of Avraham Avinu. To totally leave, cut off all ties with the geography of your place of your birth, the family of your birth, and the behavioral aspects of that family, and start a new fellowship where teacher student becomes the parent child, walking together in the ways of God. And if you can do this, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. There's a reason I'm repeating this. I will make your name great. Four promises with the test of Lechecha. Okay. What is the final test, according to Rabbeinu Yonah? Sarah's death. Misa Sarah. No, I said it wrong. Kavura Sarah, not Misa Sarah. She was 127 years old. No one has a long-term lease on life, even our Avos and our Imahos, and she died. Kavura Sarah was a test. When did the Nechama come to the family of Avraham after Patira Sarah? When was there Nechama? Not until after the Shidduch is made for Yitzchak. When they know that there is continuity of the Doros, then there is Nechama. Sarah passed away. Aram had to negotiate the burial plot. He buries her in the Ma'ar Samachpela, but we are only told about a degree of comfort once Yitzchak, Perek Chof Dalet of this week's parasha, marries Rivka. So now I take you to Perek Chof Dalet. Okay, Perek Chof Gimel, Misa Sarah, Kavura Sarah, purchase of the Ma'ar Samachpela, not in that order. The next parak in our parasha is Perek Chof Dalet, and Perek Chof Dalet deals with the first Shidduch. We're going to the very end of Perek Chof Dalet, last pasuk. Very last, but we skipped the whole thing. It's 67 psukim long because shidduchim are complicated and they take time, sometimes as long as 67 psukim. But in the end, Lamaisa Rivka comes back to the land of Canaan and she and Yitzchak get married. Vayivieha Yitzchak ha hala Sarah imo. Yitzchak brings her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. Vayikaches Rivka, and he takes Rivka. Vatahilo the Isha. She is to him a wife. Vayieha veha, he loves her. Oh, when does Yitzchak have nechama? when we understand that there is continuity, there's a next aim be Israel, that the generations will continue despite the loss of Sarah. Then Yitzchak has Nechama. He brings her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. He takes Rivka, she is to him for a wife, and he loves her. And then he is comforted after his mother. So let us look at a very famous Rashi. This is Chof Dalad Samech Zayin. So Rashi says, and I'm sure you are familiar, very familiar with this Rashi. Rashi says, Ho ahala Sarah imo. You could see my screen, right? Okay. Vayivieha ha'ohela. He brought her to the tent. V'nasi dugmat Sarah imo. She became like the image. She became the persona of Sarah, his mother. Klomar, v'harehi Sarah imo. As if to say, wow, she is Sarah, his mother. She calls Mansha Sarah Kayemes, because all the time that Sarah was alive, Hayaner Daluk me Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, there was a candle burning from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Ubracha Mitsuya Beisa, there was a special blessing in her dough. It rose exponentially, it always stayed fresh. Sarah had a special bracha in her dough. The Anan Kasher Al HaOhel, and a cloud was tied onto the tent of Sarah. Umishamesa Pasku, and when Sarah died, these brachos went away. Ukushabas Rivka Chazu. And when Rivka returned, came to the tent, these brachos returned. So when Yitzchak saw that Rivka brought these brachos back to the tent of Sarah, his mother, and he realizes that Knesset Yisrael will continue with the second Eim B'Yisrael, there is Nechama. So the Nechama for Misa Sarah, which is the 10th test, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, does not occur until the first Shidduch is made, and Rivka and Yitzchak are married. The simanim return to the tent, and then there is Nechama. Nechama not only for his personal loss, but in understanding that Knesset Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, lo yishaker. And that is also very an appropriate message for us to remember. For a shir dedicated in memory of a Holocaust survivor. You all know the famous story about Rav Moshe. Either someone came to him for a bracha, or they saw someone in shul, and someone asked him for a bracha. He said, don't ask me for a bracha. See that person with the number on their arms, go get a bracha. Because we have an assurance from God that despite all of our nisyonos and Avram and Sarah's lives were not what you would call easy when you look at the tests that they underwent. But they clung to God. They had a Havas Hashem and a Munas Hashem, like Esti said about her grandmother. And the Nechama came in knowing that Knesset Yisrael would always continue. When Yitzchak saw that there was once again a woman being mafresh challah, I'm going to quote the Medrash in a minute, and when he saw that there were Shabbos candles again, and when he saw Kedusha in the home, that's the truest Nechama. Because Hashem was saying, yes, generations come and generations go. But Knesset Yisrael, from the very beginning, is always forever. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that today was, now it's Or LaYom Chaf Vav Cheshvan, but today was 25 Chaf Hei Cheshvan, and it was the Yortzeit of the Harnuf Kedoshim. Chaf Hei Cheshvan was the day of the Pigua. I'm sure that you all remember that day vividly, where you were when you found out the news. I vividly remember the horrific, despicable, as depraved as the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichram, Arab terrorists who entered the shul and slaughtered B'nai Torah. We have an assurance that despite our nisyonos, Knesset Yisrael will always be here, will always remain. And taka, hisna ari me'afer kumi livshe bigdei sif arteich amir al yad ben Yishai. And the ultimate end of days it will be with Ben Yishai, the Mashiach Tzidkenu. But in the interim, it's our responsibility to pick ourselves up, to continue on, to find that nechama in knowing that the Jewish home is forever. So I want to quote a Medrash Rabbah on this Rashi, and then I'm going to quote a tremendous insight of the Maharal that I never came across before and I never shared before, and it's very, very beautiful to put this whole thing together. Okay, so I put it on my screen for you. I also prepared it right here. Okay, you could see, yes? You could still see? Baruch Hashem. So this is Medrash Bereishis Rabba Samach, Tes Zion. So we just saw the pasuk that says Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah's mother. He took Rivka, she was to him a wife, he loved her, and then he had Nechama for his mother. And Rashi says that there were three miracles in Rivka's tent that returned, that were originally in Sarah's tent. Rashi has told us that the three miracles were Ner Daluk, Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos, a candle burned from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, Bracha Mitzuya Bi'isa, there was a blessing in the dough, and finally, a cloud was tied over the tent. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah is a little bit different. Okay? I have the Medrash right here, but so that you could see it easily, I put it on my screen for you. So the Medrash that Rashi's quoting has a little bit of a different text than Rashi actually quotes. Rashi paraphrases the Medrash. Let's look at the actual Medrash. Vayivi'aha Yitzchak ha'ohala Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought it to the tent of Sarah, his mother. Kol yamim shahaysa Sarah kayemes haya anan kashu... Oh, I did not want to do that. Kol yamim shahaysa Sarah kayemes haya anan kashura al pasach ohala. As long as Sarah was alive, there was a cloud representing the Shechina tied, so to speak, connected to, present, over the entrance to Sarah's tent. And it represents the Shechina in Sarah's tent. Kevan shamisa pasach also anan. When Sarah died, the anan of the Shechina departed. The kevan shabas Rivka chazar also anan. Once Rivka returned, I shouldn't say returned, when Rivka came to the tent of Sarah, the cloud returned. So Hashem was really masking to the Shirach, and Hashem said, I want to be in Rivka's tent, just like I was in Sarah's tent. I want to be in the tent of every Jewish woman. I want to be in the tent of every Jewish mother. And his cloud returned. You know, it's interesting, because Esti said about her grandmother that she did not really understand all of the Mishnayos, even though she loved Pirkei Avos. She did not understand the exact translation. It was last year, I think, because it was before the pandemic, I believe, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg from the Boca Raton Synagogue put out a little divrei chizuk, if you will, after Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita spent Shabbos in the Boca community. And Rav Ephraim Goldberg asked Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita the difference between his generation and his parents' generation. So Rav Herschel Shechter replied and he said, I know far more Torah than my grandparents. Well, they had far more Amunah than we have today. And there was something about that generation that was so connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. Even if they didn't understand every word, and even if they couldn't exactly follow the Shir, and even if they didn't know all the translations. And the Ribono Shel Olam wants to be in every Jewish home. But when Sarah departed, the cloud departed. When Rivka came, the cloud of God returned. Second blessing. Rashi does not quote this in his commentary to Chumash. I don't know why. Kol yamim shai sasar kayemes hayu delasos pesuchos lirvacha. Wow. I'm going to translate it. V'kevan shamei sasar pasko oso harvacha. V'kevan shabas Rivka chazra oso harvacha. Beautiful. Rashi and Chumash tells us about three blessings, but the Medrash actually tells us about four. The first was the anan by the entrance of the tent, the cloud of the Shechina. The second, according to the Medrash, is that as long as Sarah was alive, the doors of her tent, the flaps of her tent, I guess you would say, were open wide to welcome people. When Sarah died, that openness of her tent ceased. When Rivka returned, the openness of the tent, open wide, returned. So you see here the beautiful mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim. Sarah was always willing and wanted to welcome everybody into her tent. Third blessing. As long as Sarah was alive, a blessing was sent into her dough. Once Sarah died, the blessing in her dough stopped. When Rivka came, the blessing to the dough returned. Finally, kol yamim shai sasar kayemes haya ner dolek mi leilei Shabbos vad leilei Shabbos. As long as Sarah was alive, there was a candle burning from Shabbos night to Shabbos night. Once Sarah died, pasak oso haner, that candle ceased to be, the kevan Shabbos Rivka chazar. And once he saw this, he understood that she is the one, and she is like the image, the reincarnation, not literally, of Sarah, his mother. So the Medrash teaches four blessings. Rashi to Chumash only says three. The Medrash says the cloud of the Shechina was by the entrance to the tent. It ceased when Sarah died. It returned when Rivka came to the tent. Number two, Sarah's tent was open wide in all directions. It ceased when she died. It returned when Rivka came to the tent. Number three, the Nair was lit, Meleide Shabbos ad Leide Shabbos. The Nair stopped this miraculous candle burning. The candle of Shabbos represents Shalom Bayis, stopped. Shleimus Habayis, when Sarah died, it returned when Rivka married Yitzchak. And finally, what did I not say? I missed the Bracha Metzuya B'Isa. Yeah, there was a blessing in her dough. To put this whole shiur together, this is very beautiful. I'm going to quote the Maharal. We started with Avraham Avinu's first test in the Torah text, Lech Lecha. We spoke about Rav Salvechik's three levels of departure, geographic or physical departure, behavioral departure, and kinship departure. First test in the Torah text. We saw that there are four brachos that God promises Abraham, if you leave your land and pass this test, I will bless you. The last test, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, is our parsha, Kavura Sara. Immediately after Kavura Sara, we have the first Sherech. And we noted, not us, the Torah points out, that the Nechama only came after the first Sherech. When was there Nechama for the Petira of Sarah? When Yitzchak understood, Knesset Yisrael would continue. We saw Rashi. Rashi quotes three blessings. The candle was lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, Bracha Metzuya Be'isa, and in Kasher Al Oha. We went to the source of Rashi, which was Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Samech Tazayin, and the Medrash is actually a little bit more elaborate than Rashi. The honor of God was by the Pesach of the Ohel. Her tent was open in all directions for passers-by. There was a bracha sent to her dough, and finally, her candle was lit from Shabbos Eve to Shabbos Eve. To put this whole shiur together, wow, ready? The Eschal Agoy Gadol, I will make you into a great nation, bracha number one. V'avarechecha, I will bless you. V'agadol Shemecha, I will make your name great, v'heye bracha. By the first Nisayon, Avram is promised 4 degrees of bracha. By the last Nisayon, we're not sure what's going to happen to Knesset Yisrael, because Sarah just died and Yitzchak's not married yet. With the new wife and the return of the blessings, we know Knesset Yisrael will continue. It was only with Rivka, when she returned and the blessings returned to the tent, that Avram knew the promises of God were fulfilled. Listen to the Maharal. The symbolism of the four characteristics of the tent of Sarah and then Rivka: the cloud, Anan, the open doors, the blessing in the dough, and the lamp are connected to the quadruple promise that God made to Avram way back when he said, leave your land. What's the connection between the first test in the Torah text and the last test of Kavura Sara? With Kavura Sara, and then the Nechama that comes with the marriage of Rivka, Avraham Avinu sees that the four blessings will be continued for posterity. Because Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir, because even if one generation comes and one generation goes, we will always be here, symbolized and those four blessings on Sarah and then Rivka's tent. How do we connect these four blessings to the promise that God made to Avram back in Lech Lecha, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Beis? V'eschal l'goy gadol, I will make you a great nation, blessing number one. V'avarecha, I will bless you, number two. V'agadol shemecha, I'll make your name great. V'heye bracha. Each of these four characteristics symbolizes the fulfillment, each of the four blessings in Sarah / Rivka's tent symbolizes the fulfillment of one bracha. I will make you a great nation. V'eschal l'goy gadol is identified with the cloud over Sarah's tent. The cloud symbolized the Shekhinah, God's divine presence. Ordinarily, the divine presence does not rest upon an individual. It is reserved for Knesset Yisrael, the nation of Israel. Avram and Sarah, however, from whom Israel would descend, meaning Am Yisrael would descend, personified the entire nation. They were like a microcosm of Knesset Yisrael. And they merited the public display of the Shekhinah's presence in their home. The cloud represents, v'eschal l'goy gadol, I will make you a great nation. The goy gadol of Knesset Yisrael, the whole nation, will be worthy to have the Shekhinah rest upon us. But since Avram and Sarah were a microcosm of the great nation, because they were the only two Jews, so to speak, at that time, the Shekhinah came to them. So Anan Kasher al ha'ohel, or in the Lashon of the Medrash, Anan Anan Kasher al Pesach Ohala corresponds to I'll make you a great nation, Ve'ascha l'goy gadol. How do we know we'll be a great nation? Because God puts a stamp of approval, his cloud, upon our homes, upon the tent of Avram and Sarah. Next bracha that Hashem said, Ve'avarechecha, I will bless you. This was fulfilled with the blessing in the dough. If you remember, the lashon of the Midrash was, and I'll repeat it to you, Shakol hayamim shahaysasar kayemes, haya bracha mishulachas b'isa. That's the lashon of the Midrash. Forget the lashon of Rashi for a minute, because the lashon of Rashi is different. Haya bracha mishulachas b'isa. So va'avarechecha, I will bless you, corresponds to the bracha b'isa. God made four promises, and God fulfilled four promises. The tent of the matriarchs. The Rabbanu Shalom says, you see these righteous women, you see these Nashim Tzidkanias, from who the Geula will come, you see these foremothers, these Nevios, our Imahos, who will ensure the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. Avram, the blessings I promised you come through them. The Ascha L'Goy Gadol, how do you know I want to make you a great nation? Because the cloud is by the tent of Sarah and Rivka and represents God's presence in our nation. As long as Sarah was alive, haya bracha mishulachas b'isa, bracha, that was blessing on the dough, represents v'avarechecha. I'll make your name great, v'agad lo shemecha, continues the Maharal, is identified with the wide open home. The many guests who benefited from Avram and Sarah's hospitality spread word of his greatness throughout the land. Just like Rav Yaakov Yosef Hermit, the legendary Machnas Oreach on the Lower East Side in the beginning of the 1900s, you know, someone stayed there and every Torah-dick Jew from Europe knew when you came to the Lower East Side, there was one place to go. It was the home of Rav Yaakov Yosef Hermit. His name spread far and wide. This happened in more our day, in our time. So the Maharal explains that's what happened with the tent of Avram and Sarah. Because it was open to passers-by, and it was open on all four sides, you stayed there, and then you went, and someone said, I need somewhere to stay, you say, oh, go to that tent, so v'agad l'shemecha, their name became great through the open home. His name becoming great was a direct result of the open doors of the tent of Sarah, like the Midrash says, Hayad delasos pesuchos lervacha. The tent was open in all four directions. And finally, veheye bracha. You shall be a blessing. So let's just review. Aaron was promised four blessings at the time that he departed from his home. Sarah's tent embodied four blessings that we saw in the continuity with Rivka and the marriage to Yitzchak that symbolize or represent the fulfillment of the divine promises. So no wonder Chazal say, a man without a wife is a b'li bracha. Because b'li tova, b'li bracha, she brings the bracha to the home. It's amazing. V'ascha l'goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation, is fulfilled through the realization of the anon kosher al Pesach Ohav. It symbolizes God would cast his divine presence, so to speak, on the entire nation. Because Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak can refer to a microcosm of our nation. V'eschal goy gadol. V'avarechecha, I will bless you, is the bracha mitzuya b'isa. Bracha mitzulachas b'isa. The blessing to her dough is fulfillment of, I will bless you. V'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great, was fulfilled through the tent that was open to all sides. And finally, the last blessing was Veheye Bracha, you will be for a blessing. This refers to the passing on of Avram's, this is symbolized by the candle that would burn throughout the week. V'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Veheye Bracha, you will be a blessing, is represented in the candle. Just as the candle continued to give illumination from one day to the next, without being replenished, Ner Daluk Me'erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos in the Lashon of Rashi, or Ner Daluk Me'lelei Shabbos Ad Leilei Shabbos in the Lashon of the Medrash, is the fulfillment of the Heye Bracha, you will be for a blessing. Just as the candle continued to give illumination from one day to the next, without being replenished, so too with regard to Avram. God's blessing was given to Avram. He became an unlimited reservoir of blessing. Avram became an, and you could say Sarah, his wife, became an unlimited reservoir of blessing. They brought bracha to the world. So veheye bracha, just like the candle did not diminish its flame from one week to the next, so too the blessing of Avram and Sarah is not diminished from one door to the next. And Aaron and Sarah could then pass on the Heye Bracha, as is symbolized in the constant burning candles. Although these promises were made to Avram, the symbols of their fulfillment ceased with Sarah's death. To indicate that partnership with Sarah was essential to Avram meriting the blessings. When God told Avram those blessings in Perikid Beis, Pasuk Beis, it was to Avram alone. But Sarah brought them to fruition. Sarah is the Akeres Habayis, as the Eshes Habayis, is the one who brought the blessings from potential to actual. From they will happen to, they did happen. And I think it's a beautiful culmination of our past 3 weeks of learning of this Mishnah. I never saw this teaching before. I think it's extremely beautiful to see that the woman has a special koach to bring the blessings of the Ribono Shel Olam from a promise stated to a promise fulfilled. Of course, Hashem is going to fulfill the blessings. But the vehicle, the conduit to fulfill those blessings is the Eshes Chaya. And when Sarah died, those miracles departed. And when Rivka came into the tent in this week's parsha, those blessings returned, symbolizing that Knesset Yisrael will be eternally blessed. And it is through the Eshes Chaya in every generation that Agada Shemecha, the Heye Bracha, will always come to fruition, because Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And of course, the continuity continues with Yitzchak and Rivka. The shir was dedicated, the Ilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, Chaya Bas Tzvi, who's Nifteres 8 Elul. In the source of everything she left to you, Esther, and your family, may her neshama have a true Aliyah neshama. And I hope that her neshama, just as she enjoyed Pirkei Avos Shir when she was part of Olam Hazeh, I hope she enjoyed this Pirkei Avos Shir. We're placing the Yeshiva Shel Mala. I wish everybody a week of Besoros Tovos and a wonderful Shabbos. And it's a lot of food for thought as we go into Shabbos Parshas Chayisar. Thank you so much, everyone. Kol Tov.